Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thanks for giving and for sharing with a friend. Do we lie? Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, the other Dr. Mental, my husband, Norm.
That's me.
Hey.
Here I am.
And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're always glad you join us.
We are always glad. Thank you so much. And anytime you listen to us is fun, too, right?
I think so.
Take us on the road.
We're kind of a fun conversation with a lot of good information.
That's right.
And hopefully a lot of encouragement and hope.
That's really needed today because there's so much despair in our culture, right?
So true.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. People are often wondering, why am I here? To what end? In fact, some would say we have a crisis of purpose in our society. What would you think?
I've heard that many, many times. Hmm. Those questions, who am I? Why am I here? Does my life matter? And the big one, do I have a purpose?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are age-old questions, right? They've been around for a long time, but we're talking about them because they're very important to your well-being. And yet, so many people in today's world feel lost and hopeless about the future.
The statistics about how many people are unhappy in their job are astounding. Huge majorities of people say, I'm just not happy. So in the workplace, a lack of passion or excitement is contributing to this. People don't feel connected to their company. They don't understand the value that they're creating. And this, I think, often leads to feeling uninspired, bored, and all the job changing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the leadership issues are there that don't create an environment where you feel like you're part of a bigger
right.
whole.
Motivated and connected.
To go into
right.
that. So, you know, if you wake up each day and you feel a sense of dread for the day ahead, that's probably a sign of losing a focus on purpose.
Right. And another sign of losing purpose could also relate to becoming comfortable with sin in our life. I mean, interesting, we jump into the spiritual right away, but I think this is important because when we're not motivated to live a holy life, our life can seem aimless.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture warns us about this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning.
I don't think too many people are talking about that even from the church pulpits.
Nope.
I don't think they're saying, you know, allowing sin in your life, complacency with all of that could be contributing to you feeling a little aimless
mm-hmm.
and not feeling directed in your life. And Norm, we're seeing a rise in suicide, mm-hmm. in anxiety, in stress, and hopelessness, like we're saying, people just feel lost and overwhelmed, which is why understanding who you are in Christ and why you are here, those are so important to understand. There has to be more to life than just surviving.
And more than simply going through the motions, too. That sense of spinning your wheels and going nowhere, aimlessness, means that we really aren't going anywhere and we probably need a refocus.
And statistical research ties purpose to our health. So no surprise I'm going to go there, right? But people with a stronger sense of purpose actually live longer than those who feel aimless. So purpose in life is tied to mental health, health that's physical, and spiritual health as well.
Pastor Rick Warren wrote a bestseller, which I know you remember, Purpose-Driven Life. He offered concrete answers, provided a great outline for our conversation today to better understand how purpose is a part of who we are.
That book was everywhere.
Everywhere.
Our neighborhood. Do you remember our neighborhood in Virginia? We did that book in our neighborhood. And we didn't even have neighborhood gatherings.
Right.
But everybody was buying it and talking about it.
It was a huge bestseller.
Yeah, and yet here we are. We're still very
years later.
Yeah, problematic with these purpose things in our lives.
Because
so.
People felt a need to know what their purpose was and still do.
Yeah, I think that's true. So I love his outline. We're going to mention it briefly, then we're going to go back to it. So Pastor Warren says, we are planned for God's pleasure. So he says that our first purpose is to offer real worship to God.
That's for sure.
Our second purpose is to enjoy real fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Our third purpose is to learn real discipleship. The fourth purpose is to practice real ministry. And finally, our fifth purpose is to live out real evangelism.
Wow.
So what is the sum of these things? And how do we take his wisdom from these five truths and apply them to our lives? We're going to learn more.
Right. But before we get to that, I want to clarify just a couple things about what purpose is and what it is not.
So purpose is not life goals. So purpose is bigger, it's deeper, it's wider than just those goals. You know, were you ever told, oh, you were made for this?
Mm-hmm.
And then it sounds really encouraging, doesn't it? But what does it mean? It means you were born to be a...
plumber.
Fill in the blank.
A dentist.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you were born for that, is that it? I mean, just that? What happens when the job ends? Then what?
Right. That's good. Purpose is not what some people have come to call flow. It was discovered by a positive psychologist years ago, and he called it a state of consciousness in which people find genuine satisfaction doing tasks into which they're completely absorbed and which utilize their creative abilities. Working in a flow state is exciting, but it's not purpose.
Right. And purpose is not found in doing. So this is a little different than what we were talking about before, but it's not merely an activity or a job, like we said, or even something about which you're passionate about. So purpose is driven by your emotions. Passion is driven by your emotions. Purpose finds the reason behind those emotions and answers all the why questions of life.
That makes a lot of sense. Another one that it is not is the purpose of life is not to be happy. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great American poet, said, "It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, and to have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well." So now that we know what it's not, what is it?
Well, life can be purposeful. When your purpose is clear, you find it applies to all aspects of life, your professional, your personal, your spiritual life. It's using your God-given gifts as an expression of that purpose.
Mm.
That creates purposefulness.
Mm-hmm.
And when those gifts are employed for the benefit of others in each realm of life, we do move closer to fulfill purposeful living because it's not about us.
Right, right.
It's about what Christ is doing through us.
And it's also focused. Purpose only becomes purposeful, as you said, when it's finally targeted toward other people, towards service for others. We express our purpose, and that improves our situations and the lives of people around us. In personal relationships, they flourish. Professional relationships are valued. And our spiritual relationship is deepened by even greater and more focused, there's our word, communion with our Creator.
So this is one of the things that I read about purpose I thought was interesting. It doesn't change, but its expressions can.
Hmm.
And the example was Mozart's music, which has been interpreted by hundreds of conductors.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, did Mozart's intentions change? Were the notes he so creatively arranged in astounding sequences altered? No.
No.
His purpose for the Ave Verum, which you and I have sung, and the Magic Flute or any other number did not change, but the expressions of it did.
That's good. Your true purpose then may be to guide or nurture others. Imagine how at different stages of life that purpose's expression has changed. Flexibility, even in life purposes, is one of God's greatest gifts to leaders. He often moves us into new expressions of purpose. We've both seen this work out in our lives.
We have. We've shifted and changed, but we still have a basic purpose that we feel both of us are called to. And your purpose does stem from your identity.
Mm-hmm.
So the very essence of who you are. So Katie was our technical producer, was talking about your generation. And I know you don't have a mic, Katie, but your generation is somewhat defined their purpose by their sex. And this is so wrong in so many ways because sex is one part of who we are. Our purpose is because we're a child of God.
Mm.
And he has created us for a purpose. And that encompasses all aspects of our whole identity. It's not a resume. It's not one thing. It's not this thing or that thing. It comes from being a child of God and being called through God by the Holy Spirit to do things.
And I think one way to say that is it's not what you do that you find purpose. It's who you are, made in the image of God. So here are a few questions that may help us think deeper about our purpose. Before school and the world beat it out of you, what did you most love doing as a child?
Oh, That's really good to think about that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, think of at least two of the most challenging experiences in your life, and how did they shape who you are today?
Wow. What do you most enjoy doing today?
That's good. And what makes you feel you have contributed to something greater than yourself?
Those are good. Those all focus us on purpose. One of my all-time favorite authors, Frederick Buechner, equates God's purpose for us with our greatest satisfaction. Here's what he said. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Wow. Let me say that one more time. Before we get to a break, I really want to get this through because it's so important. When life's purpose aligns perfectly with God's rich desires for us, then we're fulfilled. We're content. We find deep meaning. We find purpose.
That's really good. God's ultimate purpose is to recreate this fallen world and bring about a new heaven and earth. So he's redeeming a people for himself with whom he will dwell and with whom he will share his glory.
Right. And in the meantime, his transformation process shapes and prepares us for the world to come and takes place in our daily lives at the same time. God wants to guide us, especially in our everyday life. And when we include God in all we do, he orders our steps.
So even in the seemingly mundane things of life, you have to be humble and surrender to God. And listen to Psalm 25. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his way. So humility of heart is one of the essentials to allowing God to guide us.
That's good. Well, I don't want to be trite, but I feel directed that we should take a break right now. And we're going to do that. We'll be right back with more on God's purpose in your life, finding it and living it on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
The other night, I had an interesting conversation with friends at dinner. We were talking about the idea that Bible stories were not just nice stories, but they were there to help us relate to difficulties when they come. Now, I know this wasn't exactly a new thought. I know we know this. But how often do we think about what we are going through and actually place our life stories in the context of those Bible stories? So here's what we did. We took turns and we related a current issue that we were each having to a specific Bible story. Then we used those stories to encourage one another. So for example, one of my friends had a relationship with his boss that felt a lot like David's relationship with Saul. One moment the boss was praising him and giving him assignments. The next moment, the fiery spears would fly. Like David, he trusted God for his tomorrow. He often wondered about the timing of God's intervention, but trusted that God was working on his behalf and the plans God had for him were good. Another friend related to Joseph. She was in a job, unappreciated, and felt thrown to the side while others ascended and were promoted. She could really relate to being in the prison of neglect and rejection, hoping and praying that the king, the boss, would remember her and release her from false charges that caused the rejection. Like Joseph, she believed God would restore what was lost. By the end of the dinner, we were laughing and smiling. Life may have thrown us a few curves, but we were determined to react to those curves like the people of faith who went before us. So the next time you need a little encouragement, hey, grab that Bible storybook and think about the lessons we teach our children. Those stories aren't just for kids. They can really encourage us too. Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
You are listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We're so glad you are. Today's topic is finding your purpose. We all need this. We want to help each other do it. So if you'd like more help on this topic and other relationship issues, please follow Dr. Linda on her social media at drlindamental, at Dr. Linda Mental on X and Instagram. Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, is her Facebook page. And her website is always there with the blog and topics of our shows, and that's drlindamental.com.
And you can share these shows. You can tell people about it. Share it with someone and say, hey, look it up on Spotify. There may be a show that you really are interested in, because there's a whole list of shows there.
And they're listed by title.
They are. So you might see something on dealing with a narcissist to this type of show on purpose, and you might find something that you really enjoy or would like to share with others.
Before the break, you were reading from Psalms about how God leads us. It reminds me that we should always seek His purpose every day, but that requires a tendency to trust Him instead of relying on ourselves and our own wisdom instead of His.
I know. That's probably my number one failure, is I always try to figure things out on my own and direct my own paths.
And our last resort is prayer.
To go with God. Right, right. And I know this in my head, and yet I seem to do it. And, you know, I know that Proverbs scripture that says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess I'm a fool because I've trusted in my own mind way too many times. And then it says, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And then the one that, you know, we taught our kids, we all probably know, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, what does he say to do? Acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm.
And he will direct our paths.
He just says to acknowledge him.
I know, but why do we tend to not do that and just do things on our own?
Because we're way too programmed to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Yep, I can do this. I can make
this
happen.
That's the American way.
It sure is. Well, let's go back to Pastor Rick Warren's outline for purpose and get a little more in depth in what he was saying and probably find out why his book hit such a nerve in our culture.
Yeah, it really did.
Okay, his first point was we were planned for God's pleasure. The way this is lived out is to offer real worship to God. We were made to worship God, and this brings pleasure to him. I often tell our students, whenever you're doing your art form, whether you're acting or singing or dancing or making film, your art form done with the greatest excellence you have today is your worship.
Mm, that's really good, because we're taking it out of just being music.
Right.
And Revelation 4:11 says, you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. So first of all, God desires our worship. I mean, that was one of the original conflicts, right, with the devil.
Right.
He wanted to be worshiped, not God. And our worship needs to be a priority in our life because, Norm, our purpose is to love God with all our heart and then to love others in the same way. So God has made this really clear that we're here and our purpose. What's the Westminster short catechism?
Right. The greatest, what is the greatest aim of man?
To worship.
To worship God.
Yeah. Right. So there it is.
Well, and that, as you were saying, loving God and with all our heart is what the Jewish people call the Shema.
Yeah.
It was the great prayer that they gave at least twice a day, they were required to do it. And when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says, well, you know it. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your spirit. But the second commandment is almost as important as to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's really important for us to understand the motivation of our worship is to bring pleasure to God. That's what that's all about, not to ourselves. So when people say, well, you know, I didn't get anything out of worship today in church, I think they missed the point.
Yeah, and we all could be a little convicted by that one, right?
Right. And secondly, we need to realize that worship is more than music. So many times we say, well, I enjoyed worship today. What they mean was I enjoyed the singing.
Mm-hmm.
Worship
mm-hmm.
is not just singing. Eugene Peterson said, worship doesn't satisfy our hunger for God. It should whet our appetite. Our need for God is not taken care of by engaging in worship or singing. It's deepened. It overflows the hour and it permeates the week. It's poetic.
Yeah, and you can tell this is the passion from Norm was a former worship leader and has talked to a lot of people about worship in our lives. And to that point, Norm, worship means showing God the worth he holds in my life. Probably the verse that defines worship best is Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
Another way of understanding worship is to understand it as worth-ship. God is worth all of our worship.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that good? Worth-ship?
Yeah.
I like that word offer, though, as it always means I give back to God. Mm-hmm. I'm offering it back. It's my offering. Romans 12:1 says it this way, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. We just read that.
I know. So it's just going after that. So it's just, it offers. So that verse says, offer your body. So just make something about that.
Yeah.
I like that word. Start
I
there.
Really do like that word, offer. It's the part of offering. It means I'm giving back to God what is already His.
That's
He created us. He created us for His pleasure, and we're offering back our lives and what we do to Him.
That's right. Well, Pastor Warren's second purpose was to enjoy real fellowship, acknowledging that we are formed for God's family.
And Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 12, every born-again person has been given at least one spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit. In chapter 12, it's very clear that the Spirit hands out the gifts to equip us to glorify the Father and the Son by serving others in the church and in also serving people outside the church in mission. So typically, we become aware of our gifts during active involvement in our church life. And as we exercise those gifts, the church is built up and strengthened, and God's kingdom advances.
Yeah, and the gifts of others also minister to us in so many ways, including wisdom and counsel to discern God's direction on different issues. There are healing gifts, and there's more. So serving God in His church, which is His community, is a major part of His plan for our lives and also a great source of satisfaction and fulfillment. So again, we're saying church is more than just listening to a good sermon or listening to good music.
Rick Warren's third purpose for us is that we were created to become like Christ, which is, in our way of doing that, is to learn to be real disciples or students. That's what we were created to do. That's how we become more like Christ. Paul said in Romans 8, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those who God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, Jesus, might be the firstborn among all the brothers and sisters. God intends for us to partner with Him in this transforming work, meaning we get to take part in spiritual disciplines to foster our spiritual growth. Paul said in 2 Timothy that He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His purpose and His grace.
Do you think we get this discipleship thing? When I hear people talk about discipling somebody, it sounds like work.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like, okay, I got to get in there. I got to do these. I got to read my Bible. I got to pray with this person. I've got to do. And yet what we're doing is we're just looking at the life of Jesus. Jesus spent time praying to the Father.
Right.
He spent time alone and refreshing Himself. He spent time going to people, using His gifts to heal people, to touch people, to forgive sins. So we're looking at what was the life of Christ when He was ministering on earth, and how can we be one of His disciples? But it just seems like that word has such a negative connotation to me.
I think it's because we don't understand that in its original Greek, it means you're a student.
Yeah, you're
so
learning
it's
from
not,
Christ.
It's not a doer in a works orientation, it's a learner. I'm concerned about a new generation of young Christians who are going to come into the church in the next few years, I believe, through a massive global revival. Who's going to disciple them? Who's going to teach them and lead them into understanding all that God has for them? So He intends for us to partner with Him in all of this transforming work, and He gives us spiritual insight.
And we do that for Rick Warren's fourth purpose, which is to engage in real ministry.
That's right.
We were shaped for serving God. Titus 3:14 says, our people must learn to spend their time doing good in order to provide for real needs. They should not live useless lives.
Wow,
there you go. That means get off the couch and do something. We're going to need to give back.
And that leads into the fifth one that he said, which is to know that we were made for a mission. And we live out real evangelism by living godly lives. There is a great, great quote that said, preach always, only when necessary, use words.
Yeah,
that means really live the gospel.
Yeah, and evangelize and know that people need the Lord no matter what. Well, as we close the show today, we want you to think more about your purpose. And to do that, we want you to stay intimate with God, be directed by His Spirit, and use what He has poured into you. Do good and minister to those around you. Don't get derailed by despair or hopelessness. You were created for a purpose. Mm-hmm. Now walk in it.
Right. That's good.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to my co-host, Norm Mental, who makes the show a conversation, and to our technical producer, Katie Sims. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you again next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Hey, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mental Show. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes and share it with friends so we can live life to the fullest, walk confidently, and find healing and hope.